Well, so a few more things on humility, because that's our main topic of the day. And I was also thinking that humility includes many other qualities, like for example, it includes forgiveness, and because if you can't forgive, then there's no question of being humble. Forgiveness comes because we don't consider ourselves so important. When we are very important, I can't forgive. How could you do this to me? You know, I mean, you did this to me. Yeah, I will never forgive you for that, because I. So there is a false concept of the self in lack of forgiveness. So I see forgiveness as a quality of humility. I see also generosity, the mahav, being magnanimous, these kind of qualities in humility. Because again, you know, one has to be able to put one's own concerns on the second plane, right? Then you can be magnanimous. Otherwise, I'm all the time thinking about me and my condition and my needs and this and that. And then, as long as we are so concerned with our own comforts, our own needs, our own requirements, what I am going through right now, me, you know, then humility is very difficult. And there was a writer who wrote a book about the me decade, and that everything was centering around me and psychotherapy and just thinking about my potential and my ability and all, and my astrology and my this and my that, always to just spend, indulge in the self. So the opposite, that's the opposite of being magnanimous. Magnanimous means the self is it's not so important. It's like the need of the world is important. So there also humility is developing. Okay, forgiveness, magnanimity, what else? Anyone wants to help me and think of a quality that is part of humility?
Realistic.
I don't know who you said it. Okay.
It's honesty, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, realism. Realism is sort of, I guess we covered that in honesty and in not artificial proclaiming how fallen we are, but just sober, I said before.
On the background, not on the
foreground. Yeah, then on the background, then that's etiquette, you know? That's etiquette. Then we are... It depends, you see. It's like according to our position in terms of etiquette, we are in the foreground or in the background. But there is a time also to be in the foreground, depending on our service, right? It's like Prabhupada also says, like the girl who was supposed to dance, and then she was on the stage, and then she pulled a veil. Right? And Prabhupada said, no, now you're on the stage, now you have to dance. Right? That's not the time to pull the veil. Other times. So sometimes in our service we have to lead. That's not the time to be to go in the background. No, then lead. But lead also in a way that we don't think that we have all the answers, even if for a reason we are leading. We may have some experience, but doesn't mean that we have all the answers. necessarily. Yes?
Maharaj, I'm feeling so enlivened by your class. I thought of my own experiences related to this quality of humility. I'm feeling humility is very helpful for me to deal with the other devotees.
Yeah.
Especially, it's like kind of tolerance. I can give one very brief story. Like one time I was traveling with another Maharaj in China. And like everyone loved to serve the pure devotees. So one day morning time I was preparing his breakfast, cutting different fruits. But then another local devotee, she came. She said, "You have no qualification to cut fruits here. This is my service. You go away." So I'm thinking, I didn't argue with her. I just grabbed my japa bag. I was hiding in the corner and thinking very miserably. But then, I think Krishna just revealed another side of the spiritual world, because only that day, that Maharaj told me, "Hey, why don't you come to join my breakfast with another senior devotee?" So during that breakfast, we were chatting, and he told so many interesting things about devotional life. And that poor girl who chased me out of the kitchen, she just sweating like anything, kept on cutting all kinds of fruits. So this kind of experience has happened a lot in my life. I'm feeling humility in a tolerating approach can help me to just hold, just tolerate the grudges between the devotees.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Compassion, yeah. Explain. Why?
In order to cultivate humility, you have to understand where others are at.
What?
I can't talk to anybody.
Yeah, compassion is a funny thing, because you can't be compassionate unless you have something better. Huh? Then if you don't have something better, you can't be compassionate. You know what I'm saying? You have to have something better to give to a person. Otherwise, how can you have you, compassion means you have something to give. But if you don't have something better, then what can you give? But whatever better we have is not our property. It's we got it, although we are not qualified. Somehow or other, we got it as mercy. So now, and that's the amazing thing of this gift. It can be given to anyone, qualified or not. So we're not qualified, and others may also not be qualified, but they can get. So we can, in that way, identify. And then you see the story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat of these dacoits, you know, who came to Lord Nityananda, and finally, after a lot of trouble, first they tried to rob him, but it didn't work, and so many times it didn't work, and in the end, the dacoit leader realized Nityananda's position and surrendered. And then sometimes he would come, and he would come in the assembly of devotees, and they saw that here's this dacoit, and he'd bring people like him, dacoits, and make them bow to Nityananda. So that's the other interesting part, is that one can go back to his own people from where one came from, because one can understand those people. So compassion includes also that. But yeah, humility is an element where we can appreciate, where we can identify. Otherwise we become like Draupada, you know, who was friends with Drona Acharya in his youth, and later on didn't want to know him anymore because now he was king. Okay, I guess I want to also do the next verse, because the way the course goes, 8 verses in 4 days, I guess I have to do 2 today if I want to make it. But if someone has, I'll take 2 more questions on humility if they're there. Okay.
When we see the second verse, it ends off saying that we don't have any attachment to the holy name. And the third verse speaks about humility. So I was wondering what's the link between humility and attachment?
Yeah, well, anyway, it's a humble statement that we don't, again, there's partially honesty. I have no attachment for the holy name, and it's certainly a humble position where we make ourselves dependent on Krishna. In the second verse, there's this mood of dependence. So the element of humility is coming out there in the honesty and in its taking a position that I have no advancement, rather than think so many things. I'm chanting and I'm feeling all these things and I'm, you know, getting there. That's dangerous. So yes, it's leading up towards the third verse with that final statement. So it's a flow.
Yeah.
It's sort of a comment, and also another quality that's required is pridelessness. Now it seems like it would be obvious that you have to not have pride to be humble. But what happens is, if you have pride, that what would manifest would be low self-esteem. Being unable to accept one's low condition, you become filled with low self-esteem. And that lack of acceptance is pride. So maybe the quality would be to be accepting, to be pride, something like that. Mm-hmm. Because low self-esteem is counterproductive. It's just actually feeding your pride.
It's also low self-esteem is not acknowledging one thing, and that is that Krishna says, Sabdake Purusham Nisu, I am the ability in men. Right? It's like, you know, everybody can do something, right? And if Kurma, the cook, starts to say, like, I can't cook, that's ridiculous, right? Because whatever he cooks is like, it's just amazing. Everything is. So that would be artificial humility. But if he would say, you know, whatever cooking ability I have, it's just the mercy of Krishna, and, you know, he's given it and he can take it away just like that. That would be humility, appreciating. But to just say, I'm a useless cook, that's sort of...
That's fetching for compliments.
Yeah. And of course he could say, like, well, you know, I mean, I'm a bit overrated. That would be possible, you know, say, well, it doesn't always work, you know. He could, in that way, he could take a bit of a humble position, but still, he has that natural talent, and everyone has a talent. And so we can acknowledge our talents as gifts from Krishna, and that way have some self-esteem from, I can do this, right? Whereas no self-esteem, then I can't do anything, you know. There's some things, you know, I can do it by Krishna's grace, you know. Krishna willing, I can do it. It has to be like that, otherwise, you know, everyone's just walking around, I can't do anything. Unnatural. So there's a certain amount of naturalness also in humility, I guess. But anyway, your comment is good. Next verse. So before we do that, this course is of course in the context of our Kirtan Academy, which is so we're especially looking at our approach in Kirtan, and how these verses express different moods in our kirtan. The first verse expressing that mood of just at least chanting for purification, if there is nothing else, and always for that. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes for purification, we sing at least for our purification. Then we sing for the pleasure of the deities, for the pleasure of the devotees. Sometimes when I play and sing, you know, nowadays it's not so much about the instrument anymore. I think anyway, if you ask me, that a harmonium is some sort of, I consider most harmoniums like firewood. They're hopeless instruments, you know. I mean, the pits, right? Slow reaction. You press a key and the sound is delayed. This is like intolerable. And there are many other things. The tuning is always off. Listen to this. It hurts, but anyway. So then you gotta pump like crazy, you know, to get a little air out. So get a note. So just to name a few, that, not talking about sticky keys, right? You press one key down, two go down, you know. Sometimes keys they come up also, they stick up or. So harmoniums, you know, I could give a 1 hour lecture on the glories of the harmonium, which I will not do. But my point is, so when I'm using a harmonium in kirtan, it's not so much about playing harmonium. I'm not playing harmonium. I'm playing the people. I'm playing the people for Krishna. That's what I'm trying to do. When I lead a kirtan, I try to take the people with me and get them more absorbed. And in that way, okay, try and do serve the Vaishnavas and serve Krishna in that way. So I'm not so expert. I always make mistakes and this and that. But anyway, still try to take the people with me. And yes, the chanting is full of transcendental power. And so we're just, it's not so much about the most amazing tune or the most amazing this. It's just about simply chanting Hare Krishna. Just see how simple is the famous Prabhupada tune, right? So, and he could do fancy stuff also. You hear that in some of the recordings, that Prabhupada's harmonium playing in his voices. I mean, you know, even the whole, all the experts of the day, you know, they still look at like, whoa, you know, oh, that's good. That's technically quite intricate what Prabhupada was doing. In his private recordings, very intricate, but then just such a simple melody as the main melody for his kirtan. Right? So accessible, right? So accessible to everyone. Anyone could chant it, you know. Like, so our meditation is really to chant and how to involve others in chanting. And so sometimes there is room for complexity, but over a whole, that's smaller kirtans, maybe with smaller groups, specialist groups, but otherwise accessibility is important. And I also see some humility in there, and I see some nam namakari, bahudanija sarva shaktis, that we think about connecting people with the energy of the name, and in this way we'll go forward. to the next verse, and we can chant it all together. Nadanam najanam sundarin kavitam vadagadi sakamaye mamaye svare bhavatat bhakti rahaiti gitaye. So, in this verse, Lord Chaitanya is particularly expressing the desire to serve. That is the focus of the verse is about, I want to serve. And then specifying that more, I don't want this, I don't want that, I want to serve birth after birth. All I want is to serve. So I don't ask for anything else from this whole process. I just want to serve. So again, in kirtan also, to serve is very important. I mean, the instruments, they serve not like, you know, you have these super madanga players and they are sort of supporting the kirtan, and while the singer is still going like sansara, then it's already and then you sort of like go, okay, we're going home now, right? It's over, you know. This is ridiculous. It's totally out of touch, you know. Here is someone on an ego trip showing off how amazing he can play mridanga. It's not like, this is not in the mood of service. This is in the mood, I am master of mridanga, mridanga master. But mridanga servant is very difficult. And one who has spoken a lot about that is Madhava, right? Because he's after all, first a mridanga player and then a kirtan leader. He even plays mridanga on the harmonium, actually. He plays rhythm on the harmonium, because his chords are very simple, but then the rhythms are something else. They're very difficult, and he never loses the cutting edge. You know, he puts it on a... because the beat doesn't go down. Whereas most kirtan leaders, the beat goes up a bit, it goes down. Madhava keeps the beat, because he's a drummer. Super drummer. Anyway, so he spoke about how much he got hammered by Indra, who had red hair and a beard and was revolutionary and sort of hot-blooded, and who there's a lot of fire in him, so Madhava got it. Full blast. So in that, he became a good drummer. Not because he's a talented musician and has a very refined ear and so on, but because he followed, he had that service attitude. And to serve, life after life is all we want. It's like to conquer this sense of being master. That's really the issue in the fourth verse. The sense of being master is so difficult to overcome. We just always look in any situation, again, to be master, whatever it is. So humility is separately mentioned, but then still service attitude is stressed. And this, which is obviously a further expansion of humility, but the key is service attitude. Everything rests on service attitude. Therefore, and then nadanam najanam nasundarim, okay, you know, like sense gratification, right? That's just no wealth, no sex, no aristocratic birth, all these things, not many followers, which is more subtle. Of course, to have followers is not at all easy, because for having followers, the Uttama Adhikari has to deal with Madhyam or Kanista issues. Huh? So many Kanista issues coming up, right? Oh, it's so difficult, you know, I can't really give this up, and what to do now, and how can I, you know, get more motivated to make this adjustment, you know, just give it up. No, that's one answer, right? One answer is just merciless, you know, just give it up, you know, cut, you know. The other answer is the psychological answer. No, of course, I understand it's very difficult, and, you know, and many devotees are struggling with the same thing, but failure is the pillar of success, and gradually, you know, by good association and regular practice. Okay, whereas the Uttama Adhikari himself doesn't have any of these problems, right? And he just wants to spend his time with Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then he's got to come down and deal with all these issues, you know. But what about giving up sense gratification? It's so difficult. I don't really want to give it up. And then, oh gosh, you know. It's like, so coming from the Uttama platform down to the platform of a madhyam for the sake of preaching is external, but internally still uttam. So it's not like, so it's not just ecstasy to have many, many followers. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's like, it's also hard work having the followers, and they take away time from being absorbed in just Krishna. They take away from one's actual bhajan. Yeah, they take away from absorptions, deep. Of course, giving generously and being merciful is invoking the mercy of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya. So it comes in that way also. But it is, there is austerity. There's lots of austerity in dealing with materialistic people who are beginning Prakriti Bhaktas, who are materialistic devotees. It's an austerity for the advanced devotee who has followers. So having followers is not just the greatest thing in the universe. One who has lots of followers, good luck. And what about the karma? Yeah. How much karma do we get? It depends on Krishna, because Krishna is in control, Lord Chaitanya is in control. Otherwise, how could anyone even do such a thing, having followers? But at the same time, though, better. One has to leave some time for his own absorption. We cannot just run out the door, flapping clothes, Sankirtan man, you know, like, without some private time with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also had his private time with Krishna at night, as we recall. And these purports are my ecstasies. That was a time of deep penetration, seriously studying the Bhagavatam and teaching them on the basis of these studies of the commentaries. So that's required. We see that all the acharyas, they wrote commentaries. All the acharyas pushed on this mission, but they also wrote commentaries. So, you know, to write such a commentary takes a lot of time. Sometimes you wonder, where did they find the time to write all these commentaries? Where do we find the time to write all these commentaries? Where do we find the time to read the Bhagavatam at all? Sankirtan man with flapping cape, you know, super bhakta, flies around and delivers the conditioned souls. But where is the quality time spent in just before Krishna? When we chant the holy name, we are directly serving Krishna. When we are fixing cars for Krishna, or when we are using the material energy in the service of Krishna in a way that's indirect. In a way, we're indirectly engaging the material energy for Krishna. The material energy is always perplexing, Srila Prabhupada writes. It's perplexing. So there is time required for directly serving Krishna in the form of his name. We're directly with Krishna. And so we need time for that. Therefore, we all need private time for chanting, to just get absorbed, deeply absorbed. Of course, okay, we have the morning program, which is designed to give us some of that private time, and then that's sort of how most of us just solve that issue of needing private time, morning program. But maybe the morning program is not enough at one stage. Because the funny thing is, in the material world, in the beginning, you need to do more in the beginning, and later you become expert at something, and then you just hardly do anything. But in Krishna consciousness, it's the opposite. Over time, you have to do more. You have to do more to be absorbed. You can't just what was good in the past, what was enough in the past, is not enough anymore. Now we need more chanting, more worship, more hearing. It's not enough anymore. For so many years it was enough, but not anymore. Because with time, it has to increase. That's the funny thing about devotional service, more chanting. If someone says, let's have 15 minutes kirtan, it's all right. It's nice, the holy name. But you can't get deeply absorbed. It needs some time. Chanting 16 rounds is not a great number, it's a minimum. And chanting one round here, chanting three rounds there, chanting two rounds there, that's not the same as getting absorbed. Absorbed means, like, okay, get into the rhythm, then the mind, so you can switch it off and try and focus and hear the name. And gradually, some momentum builds up. Like that. So the absorption. So I think that's an important point when we speak about followers. Because our whole movement is a preaching movement and we're all caught up in the same thing, right? I mean, so many people and they all come, you know, the follower, they all come here. I mean, crowds everywhere. And it's like, every temple is like that. Every temple is a public place, right? Sometimes people ask me, what's it like to live in a monastery? My answer is, no idea. Whatever it is, wherever we live, a monastery it's not, that's for sure. You know, want to come and try Hare Krishna temple? It's not a monastery. Although, I saw some comics about monks, and they had like... they also had like the funky monk, and maybe in monasteries they also have a bit of what we have, but I don't believe they have as much of it. I saw a poster in Spain of three devotees advertising a drink, and they were sitting on like an Easy Rider Harley Davidson motorbike, you know, like one with these big forks, right? And it's three Hare Krishnas. Monks sitting on there, you know, like in a pose, right? And the world is looking at it like, look at that, you know, that's funny. These monks are sitting on that bike, right? I was also laughing, right? Because I was thinking, one second, I was also laughing because I was thinking, this is how they really are. You know what I mean? This is how they really are, actually. Yeah? I mean, you know, they're right at home on the bike, you know. That the people couldn't figure out. Yeah, Mayapur has a whole bike gang, you know, like the headquarters, everything, right? With a big bike there. It's like there's a whole bikey thing here. Chains. And Dayogaranga has the biggest bike of all. He's gone, or is he still here? Yeah. So let's have some, are there questions or have some kirtan? How much can you talk? I'm tired of it. Huh? Have a little kirtan. Just 15. Question?
Oh, a question from yesterday. Where was that?
Krishna.
What did I do with the
question that I was given was finding it?
I must find it. It can't be gone. I had it here. A moment ago. Oh.
You remember the question?
Yes, it's something to do with after you've developed some attachment for Krishna. Sometimes it seems like, okay, now I've got you, and then he makes it harder.
Yes, yes.
He disappears from.
Sometimes when we feel that we're getting a little closer to Krishna, a little mercy, then it seems that Krishna slips away again. And Bhagavatam, of course, gives us the example of Narada in his as the son of the maidservant, and the Lord appears before him even, and then disappears again and says, you want to see me again this life? And with the aim of increasing our attachment. So Krishna is doing that, because Krishna is an active agent. It's not just a process that we're following. No, Krishna is leading us along, and Krishna wants us to go further and deeper, and he wants more. The reason why spiritual life requires more after some time is because Krishna is no longer satisfied. With what we give. See, in the beginning, okay, Krishna was generous. Yes, okay, you give me a little, that's nice. That's nice. You're giving me something. But after a while, oh no. Now you have to start giving something more. Otherwise, I'm not home. Like that. Krishna has to. You have to conquer Krishna. And one can never think, now I have Krishna, because he'll escape. And even with the gopis, he's doing that. He's escaping again and again, and they have to conquer him again, each time. So one can never rest on his laurels in Krishna consciousness, no matter how great the service, no matter how advanced, no matter how many tears we've cried in genuine ecstasy. Still, we have to conquer Krishna again and again, each time again. And at times, therefore, we feel dry again, and we feel again. We were feeling so inspired, and then gone. And then again, we have to conquer. And this goes on and on and on. We have to conquer Krishna again and again.
Is that gone stage, can it also be triggered when someone has done an aparadha?
Sure.
It just comes on its own.
The gone stage can come from aparadha, can come from neglect. Maybe we're not like committing a great aparadha directly, but maybe we begin to neglect our sadhana. We see that in the case of Bharat Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, neglect, and it went, although he was so advanced, from bhava, it went. So we have to keep on making the effort, and sometimes the mind gets tired too. You have to always push and push and push and push every day again. So many things. I don't know. One of the things that struck me so much when I became involved in the Hare Krishna movement was how many things there were in a day. Just because that whole added morning program and everything. You know, like, whole morning program. That's a day's work, you know. I mean, yeah. And then it starts, right? Then, you know, service, and then evening program on top of that, you know, the last kitchen cleanup, and like, it's like, I couldn't believe how much was in one day. It's just kind of like, gosh, these are, and we all feel like the weeks are flying by as if they were 3 days, totally overloaded, never got a minute. I used to read lots of books before I was Krishna conscious, and after I moved into the temple, I never had time like before. Never read like before, devotees say, right? Can you identify with these things? So much to do, so many things going on. So, so there are moments where I get a little tired, physically tired, mentally tired. I go, gosh, you know, I'm running for years now. And there comes a time when things change. Like we're young and we run around for Krishna, we take a million services, but the time catches up with us and age diminishes our energy, and gradually we have to replace all that running around with simply sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna. And that's hard. The mind goes like, oh God, can't I run around? You know, I'm still young, I can still run, yeah? Not just chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we want to preach also, but still, it gets reduced over time, isn't it? And so there are many challenges in many ways to conquer Krishna again and again according to different stages of life. Uh-huh. 10 minutes for cure.